than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus than let him lead, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I appreciate that and enjoyed that so much. Yesterday at Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee, at the men's conference, we sang a song there, In the Morning, Give Me Jesus. In the morning, give me Jesus. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. And I feel like that in my heart. I'd rather have Jesus than all that the world could give me. Thankful today to be saved. I want to, again, ask your prayers today, and I want to speak to you here this morning. I'm going to be reading some scripture in a moment from the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. If you want to turn there and be ready to read along with the lesson, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. But I want to speak to you today about power. Power. And I was thinking about that as I was studying and trying to prepare to speak on the thought that the Lord had placed upon my heart about the various ways that we have experienced power, different types of power. I thought about when I was a young man, like many young men are, and I'm not so much this way anymore, but when I was a young man, I was really into something called horsepower. I liked engines. I liked big, you know, powerful engines. And I remember speaking to my friends a lot about horsepower, how much horsepower has that motor got. And we know that when somebody has a company or a business or something that they're trying to run and they need people to work for them, we may oftentimes hear them say use the term, well, we need manpower. When we think of weaponry, I thought about when I was in the military going through boot camp. They took us out one day and they gave us what was called a small arms weapons display. And there that day I experienced a lot of firepower. We're all, you know, common with the term of nuclear power. Many people have worried and fretted for years about nuclear power. We know that in our homes, I mean, we turn the lights on in our homes because of electrical power. Places that generate that, we call them power companies. You know, we know of gas power, turbine power, all different sorts of power, all different sources of power. And of course, we are very familiar with the power that comes through what we call nature. We have seen and heard about in different places recently about during this time and this season of tornadoes. And I always thought about, you know, something that is strong enough to take a little pine needle. When I was in when I was going through boot camp, I was in Georgia. I was there around Augusta, Georgia at Fort Gordon. And everywhere we went, it seemed like out to every training site, there were pine needles. There were a lot of pine trees there. And they're just so, you pick up a pine needle and it's just so flimsy. And it really amazed me when I was told that there had been cases where a tornado had taken a pine needle and just like a nail and had driven them into trees. I mean, that's some raw power, isn't it, to be able to do something like that? So we are acquainted and aware with power in a lot of different forms. But today I want to talk to you about supreme power. I want to talk to you about what is the greatest power. And the title of my message today is going to be The Power of Jesus Christ. He holds the greatest of all power. And I want to read some scripture from this 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him to a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine own house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And I will stop my reading there with the eighth verse. I want to speak to you today in this, in asking you to focus on this thought, the power of Jesus Christ. I want to share with you today from the Scriptures some examples of things that Jesus has done and what Jesus can yet do today because of His great power. And He exercised this when we look at these examples, we will find that the Lord Jesus Christ used His power for the benefit of others. He used His power many different times to help people in various ways. And I'm going to say this. If you're here today and you have never been saved, I came here today with a prayer upon my heart concerning you. And that was that, and is that, before you leave this service today, that you will come to know the power of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is able, there are things that He is able to do, and there are things that He has done because of His power that nobody else could possibly do. All of these other types of power that I have spoken to you today, these different types of man-made power or natural power, none of them are capable of doing the things that the Lord can do by His own power. The Pharisees in this situation, these self-righteous people here, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed this man, their problem with that, when the Lord Jesus Christ said to this man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," we can read in other accounts in the Scriptures as well, that they had a problem with him even saying that. They accused him of blaspheming when he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." They accused Jesus of being a blasphemer. And the reason that they did is because they said only God can forgive sins. Only God can do that. And so they said, when they heard Jesus say, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee," they said, "Well, this man is a blasphemer." But I want you to know something today. Those men were right. They were absolutely right. Only God can forgive sins. But what they didn't understand, when Jesus said to this man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," well, that's exactly what was happening. God was forgiving sin. Jesus was God. He was Jehovah God. And He said that, you know, we find where Jesus made the statement in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John. He said unto Philip, he said, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father." When you looked at Jesus, you were looking at God, and He is God. And God was forgiving sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ was not blasphemous. He was not blaspheming at all when He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But, you know, knowing the hearts of His accusers, as He always did, He said, "Well, which one is easier? What's easier for me? Is it easier for me to say, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee,' or arise and take up thy bed and walk? But since you've accused me of blasphemy, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And then he said to the palsied man, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. And so you see, Jesus, in this one illustration, we have great proof that the Lord has the power to help us. If you're here today and you're lost, I'm telling you that you need the operation of God on your heart. You need to be saved, and the only one that is powerful enough to forgive you of your sins, the only one that is powerful enough to change your stony heart and to give you a heart of flesh, to take out that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, the only one that's able to make that change in you, that has the power, friend, to make that change in you, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to assure you today that you cannot do it on your own. Listen to me. If you're here today and you're lost, you cannot save yourself. Well, why not, preacher? Because you don't have the power. You don't have the power necessary in order to do that. Only God has the power to forgive sins. Only the Lord is able to do that. But in order that they may know, that it may be proven to them, he said, take up your bed and walk. And so the Lord could, by his power, he could minister to a person's physical needs, and he still can today. He could minister to a person's spiritual needs, and he still can today, because that he possessed that power. I want to share some verses of Scripture with you from the Gospels. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 tells us, and he called, that's Jesus, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, I have made this point here before. I'm sure you've heard others make this point. We know how that in the days of the apostles that they could go out and they could cast out demons out of people, and they could go out and they could heal sick people. They could heal a person that had been paralyzed from birth. They could heal them, their legs, and strengthen their legs and make them walk. They could heal somebody that was a leper. They had the power and the ability to do these things because the Lord had given that to them. Now, we know Jesus had to have that power, because if he didn't have it, he couldn't give it to others, could he? And the Bible very plainly tells us here in the 6th chapter of Mark, verse 7, he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. In John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, talking about spiritual healing. In John chapter 1, 11 and 12, speaking of Jesus, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ had power where he could heal the sick. He gave this power to the 12, and he sent them forth two by two to go out and exercise the gifts that he had given to them that were possible by his power. And they could cast out devils, and they could heal all manner of sickness and disease. But the Lord also, through his power, to as many as receive him, to as many as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And listen, if you're here today and you're lost and in your sins, the best thing that could ever happen to you in this life would be to come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, to experience that great power from on high. Those of us here today that have already been saved, we know what that is. We know what it's like to experience the power of God's saving grace. And there's not a better thing that could happen to you than that. And there's nothing in life that's more important than that. So listen, if you are here today and you're lost and in your sins, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will come to Him, if you'll meet His conditions according to the gospel, if you'll repent of your sins and trust the Lord with all of your heart, He can give you the power today to become a child of God. He did it for me. He did it for me. He did it for many others. And He can do it for you. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. I love this account. There was a time when the Lord was out on a ship with His disciples, and there was a great wind that had come up. And in fact, it had created a tempest to the point that their lives were in peril. And the Bible tells us that the Lord, He was in the back part of the ship, and He was laying there asleep. And they came and they woke Him, and they asked Him the question, "Master, don't you care that we are about to perish?" And he, after rebuking them for the weakness of their faith, the Bible tells us, Mark chapter 4, verse 39, "And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Listen to me. Listen to me. Anybody that could stand and face a raging wind. I'm sure you've seen times in your own life. I'm sure you've seen times maybe at the lake or something when the wind, it would get the lake rocking and the water would begin to white cap. Some of you that have been on the ocean have seen a lot more than what you've ever seen on a lake or something like that. But the wind just disturbing the water and causing great waves and causing the boat to be tossed about. And for somebody to be able to stand and with nothing more than the power of their voice to say to the wind, "Peace, be still." And you know what? The wind had no choice but to obey His voice. Why? Because of the power and the authority behind it. Peace, be still. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Have you ever experienced the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in that way? When there was great turmoil in your life? And you begin to be afraid, and you went to the Lord, and you begin to seek the Lord for His help, and the next thing you know, He spoke to whatever problem that was, whatever it was that was afflicting you, and just said, "Peace, be still." And you know, I heard a song one time, and I really like this song, because a lot of times, when there's trouble around us, when there's something that's plaguing us, the Lord doesn't always take the trouble away, does He? Sometimes He just simply gives us the grace through His power to be able to stand, to be able to make it through whatever it is we're facing. And in this song it said, "Sometimes He calms the storm." Well, He did here. He calmed the storm. Sometimes in our life, He calms the storm. Sometimes He just calms me. Sometimes the storm rages on, but I feel the sweetest peace. God, listen today, folks, the Lord can give you what you need. He can give you what you need. Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Here's a good one. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. A man named Lazarus had died. And as it is with death, there was a family that was very hurt. There were two sisters. This man had two sisters named Mary and Martha, and they were extremely hurt over the death of their brother. And this man that had died, Lazarus, the Bible tells us that the Lord loved him. And after his death, they had taken him and they had laid him in a tomb. And when the Lord Jesus Christ finally came there, he had been dead and had been laid aside in the grave clothes for 4 days. 4 days he had been dead and had been buried. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and he stood by that tomb there. And in John chapter 11, verse 43 and 44, it tells us this: and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." Now you tell me that that's not power. You tell me that that's not supreme power. Folks, there is no power like that. There is no power that can be compared to the raising of the dead. Well, you know what? I haven't yet, you know, I haven't died yet in the body, so I haven't experienced what Lazarus experienced. I haven't experienced being my body laying in a grave somewhere and after 4 days of being dead, coming back to life. I don't know what that man felt like. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what he felt like when all of a sudden there he was. And, you know, I mean, could you imagine seeing yourself in your grave clothes and there the next thing you know, you're standing there alive? I don't know what he thought about that experience. I've never experienced that. But I'll tell you what, I know what it means by the power of God to be brought from the dead unto life. I sure do. I've experienced that. Because there was a time when I was dead, my soul was dead in trespasses and in sins. I was in the same condition that the Apostle Paul spoke about when he wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, "You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins." There was a time when I was in that condition. My soul was separated from God. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. There was a time when my soul became greatly alarmed and greatly troubled over the condition that I was in, and I found myself up on my knees crying out for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ upon my soul. And there in all of that trouble and all of that conviction and all of that condemnation, crying out to him, the Lord spoke to my soul, "Peace, be still." And you talk about a great calm. You talk about a great peace that came upon me there in that hour. And the Lord quickened my inward man. He made it alive. He brought it from death unto life. That's what the Apostle Paul, or that's what the Apostle John said happened. We know, those of us that are saved, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that. And it's wrought by the great power of God. You know, Jesus, folks, he was a man. Well, you said he was God. Well, he was. But Jesus was a man. But he was a very special man. He was a man that, even though he was a man, he could truthfully say, no man can take my life from me. Now, there's no other man that can make that claim truthfully. There have been, there have been people, there have been times when the heavyweight boxing champion of the world would boast and say, there's no man that can beat me. But somebody would come along and beat him. I mean, there's been people in all different types of areas of life. There's been people because of their intellect that would say, there's nobody that's smarter than I am. But they'd find out that there was somebody that was in some way smarter than them. Nobody has ever been able to make this claim that there's no man that can take my life except for Jesus. You know why you can't make that claim? Solomon told us why. He said there's no man that has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither has he power in the day of death. But Jesus could say that, and Jesus did say that, and it's recorded in John chapter 10, verse 18. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. But he said, I give it of myself. And you know how he was able to do that? He said, I have the power to lay it down. And he also said, I have the power to take it again. Now, I want to tell you what, to me is the most phenomenal thought concerning the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this man that the Bible tells us about, this man named Jesus, he died. He died because he gave himself to that. He gave himself to the death on the cross. And make no mistake, when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, he didn't merely go to sleep. Folks, he died. He died. He died on the cross. When the soldiers came, because the holy day was drawing nigh, and so when the soldiers came to break the legs of the people on the cross, the Bible tells us they didn't break his legs because he was dead already. They didn't break his legs because he was dead already, and thus the prophecy was fulfilled that not a bone of him would be broken. He was dead. They took his body down. They prepared it. They took his body down and they laid it in a tomb. And his body laid buried in that tomb, dead, just like you would bury anybody that had died. Folks, he was dead. But on the third day, on scheduled time, just like he had promised, he got up from the dead because he had the power to take his life again. Now, you can't do that. I promise you that none of you can do that. You know what Houdini said? You know Houdini, he used to do all of his magic tricks and stuff and escape from, like, these things where he was underwater and all this stuff. Well, it's my understanding that Houdini made the claim that when he died, he'd find a way to come back. But we haven't seen him yet. We haven't seen him yet. Only the Lord had the power, friends, to get up from the dead. You won't accomplish it. When they lay our body in the grave, Brother Strode, it'll stay there until the Lord calls for it. We won't have the power to raise it up, but the Lord will. The Bible tells me in John chapter 5, verse 28, Jesus said, the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a wonderful thought to me as I pass through this life. Death has no power over me. Death has no victory over me because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke peace to my soul. And at the very most, death can only claim my body for a little while, but it's a great and a blessed thought to me while I live here to know that even when my body lies in death, you know, I've heard the voice of the Lord in my life, folks. I know you have too. I've heard God speak to me about things. Have you heard the Lord speak to your heart about things? Instruct you in things? You know, when he was speaking, you knew who it was that was speaking. And it's a great thought to me to think that even when I slumber in death, that one of these days, that body may, you know, I mean, it may have gone to the dust by that time, but the Bible says I'll hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Now, that's power. That's power. Somebody that has laid in the grave for years and years and years, and the Lord, by nothing more than the command of his voice, just like he did with Lazarus, will call out, come forth. And they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I want to give you one last verse, and then I'm going to close. Romans chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I've got the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it up. I want us to have a song today. And I want to say, if you're here today and you're lost, that just as Jesus did when he was on earth, just as he told those people there that day that accused him of blasphemy, and he said, but just so you will know that I've got the power on earth to forgive sins, I want you to know he's still got that power today to forgive you of your sins and to make a new creature out of you, to change you to the point that old things will pass away and all things will become new. And he'll give unto you the power to become a child of God if you'll meet his conditions. While we stand and sing,